Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now let's go into the service for today's message.
Come on, let's give Jesus one more big shout. Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for your powerful name. Amen. Why don't you give somebody a big hug before you're seated? Awesome. Good morning, Gateway. Well, my name is Lee Grady, as you were already told, and some of you know me and some of you don't, but I'm really glad to be back in this house. I love you very much, and happy Mother's Day. As you were already told, not only to the biological moms, to the adoptive moms, to the single moms, to the spiritual moms. And what is it you said, David, to all the people who have moms? Yeah, if you feel motherly. And you might feel motherly by the end of the message today. Well, your pastor, David, mentioned to you that this church has been very involved in supporting me financially over the last several years, and I really appreciate that. And this morning, before we get into the message, I just wanted to give you a real quick update on things that are happening, and some of you may not know what I do. The ministry is called the Mordecai Project, and we are involved in confronting gender-based violence wherever that's happening around the world. And we're building a network of projects in different countries where women and girls are suffering simply because of their gender. And this picture you see here is our home for girls in India. And every one of these little girls was abandoned simply because they're female. In fact, two of these girls were found in trash cans when they were babies. That happens in India, and we have the honor of supporting them, feeding them, getting them through school, and we're now also building them a new house. So this is part of what your support goes toward. And then in the next picture, you can see this couple, Pastor Eric and Ana Esther Paz. They live in Rio Hondo, Guatemala, a community that I've been going to for about 12 years, and we are now building a women's shelter in that community. This is going to serve as a counseling center as well as a residential shelter for women who need to get out of violent situations. And in Guatemala, that's a reality every day. It's the third most violent country on earth for women. And we're going to be shining the light of Jesus in that community and helping bring Christ's healing to many women who are in vulnerable situations. The same thing we're doing in Peru. This is David and Teresa Gomez, pastors of a church in Tarapoto, Peru, also a very dangerous country for women. And we're building Casa de Emmanuel. It's also a shelter for women there on that property. In fact, we just sent the next check for the next phase of the construction. And these buildings are going to be, as soon as they're up and ready, we have teams trained and ready to go to counsel and to care for these women in crisis. And a lot of times they have kids with them. So please be praying for us about that. And then the next picture is, this is actually a men's retreat. It's not a chili, what did you guys call it? A chili war. You guys are having your chili war this weekend. This was a three-day men's retreat in Barranquilla, Colombia. And we have figured out that the best way to end domestic violence is to pray and break the issues going on in the lives of men. And so these guys, for 3 days, they were together. They heard a lot of powerful messages about how Jesus feels about domestic violence. And God got in their hearts and dealt with their father wounds and dealt with their anger. And many of them were on the floor repenting before it was all over. And we are seeing transformation in Colombia. Amen. Yeah, you can give Jesus a big hand for that. And when I'm not confronting gender-based violence, the next thing I love to do is pray for people to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I love the Holy Spirit and love to see what God does in people when, you know, shy, normal people get filled with God. And in this church in Uganda, I was there recently, this is an Anglican church. But in Uganda, Anglicans are basically wild Pentecostals. And in this picture, the church is packed. People were actually sitting outside the windows. Every one of those windows, there was about 10 people sitting in chairs outside because they couldn't get in. And in this picture, 100 teenagers are getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then in the next picture, it just looks like a big church full of people with a balcony full of people. But what you have to understand, this is a church in La Paz, Bolivia, and it is the 6 a.m. service. We were not talking about whether you guys were going to start one of those. David says you're praying about it. But in this case, about 25 people got saved in the 6 a.m. service. And then there was an 8:30, and there was an 11, and then there was a 5 p.m. And people got saved in every one of those services. Amen? Because the Holy Spirit is moving today like never before. I hope you don't get all of your information from Fox and CNN and all of that, because that's not where I get my inspiration. God is on the move. And they usually don't tell about what he's doing on any of those stations, but I'm just giving you a little hint of what's happening here. And then one more I think we have. This was actually last weekend in Pittsburgh. And this was a men's event that we did at a church that has a connection to you. Church at the Heights in Pittsburgh. Some of you may know Pastor Ralph and Cindy Vogel. They've been here, I think, several times for your conferences, your prophetic conferences, and they love Pastor David and Kathy, and they send their greetings to you. But we had an amazing time with them last weekend. Amen. So that's kind of what Mordecai Project is about. If there's anybody here who would like to know more, I have a sign-up sheet at the table in the foyer, just if you'd like to get my ministry newsletter. And there's also some of my books back there if you'd like to get those. So this morning, we are going to talk about why the world needs a woman's touch. And as you'll notice, I didn't say a mother's touch here because I'm including all females in this message, okay? So whether you are a mother or not, or you're going to be a mom or whatever, this message is for you. And guys, this is also for you. Because guess what? We need to hear why it's so important that God put women in our lives and why he wants women to be more empowered in the church. Amen? So I can't really talk about this without showing you this picture. And this is my mother. She is 88 years old, and last week she got a speeding ticket. In LaGrange, Georgia. This is my mother and my dad, and my wife and I have been through quite a roller coaster in the last year. My dad, 1 year ago, fell 4 feet under concrete. He has a brain injury. And he's 89 years old. He's going to be turning 90 in 2 weeks. And my dear mother has been caring for him, her husband of 67 years. Yeah. And she's just laying her life down, continually showing that mother's love and that wife's love and that woman's touch in this critical situation. And you can see my dad's pretty happy about it. And then this next picture is my wife and I with our oldest daughter, Margaret, who is 31. I've talked about her before in here. My daughter, Margaret, is married, and she has 3 children. She and her husband adopted a baby from Ethiopia. That's their first child, and then they have had 2 biological children. She's an awesome girl. But what's really cool is that last week, 6 days ago, Margaret got ordained in the ministry. Yeah. And it was just a couple of months ago that I was sitting on the front row of a church in Idaho. We were having a women's conference there, and my daughter was one of the speakers. And I can't even tell you what it's like to sit in a meeting and listen to your own daughter preach from the Word, and it's so good that you forget who it is. And then I lost it, and I was, you know, crying on the front row, and then, of course, she has to tell everybody that I'm doing that. Because she knows her dad, and that's why she didn't ask me to do the wedding ceremony, because she knew I wouldn't be able to get through it. But, you know, watching my oldest daughter and her journey, seeing the obstacles that she's faced and bravely overcome, and then come to this moment in her life, it has caused me to really, really value the contribution of women in ministry, and I've become a champion for that because I believe that this is something that is really on God's heart, that He really, really wants women to step up to their place. We don't have to worry about competition here because God has always, always called men and women to work together in ministry. Amen. I'm going to share a scripture with you this morning that sort of encapsulates this. And this is a verse that comes from the heart of the Apostle Paul. A lot of people have had this misconception over the years that they thought that the Apostle Paul was a chauvinist, that he didn't really let women do certain things, or that he told women to be quiet. And you know, you can pull one or two verses out of context in the Bible and build a doctrine that says that women should stay on the sidelines. But actually, you don't pull verses out of context. You have to read every verse of the Bible through the lens of the whole Bible. And the whole Bible gives us this understanding that God raised up and calls women today to be fully engaged in what He's doing. Amen. So the Apostle Paul said to the Thessalonians, "But we proved to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us." Now that's a male apostle speaking, but he's saying, we came to you like a nursing mother. Okay, takes a real secure man to say that. Amen? But what he understood something about God's image. In Genesis 1, verse 26 through 28, where it talks about God creating man, he says he created him male and female. He created them, and that he created them in his image, male and female. And so actually what that's telling us is that God's image is reflected through both genders, and we actually need both genders to reflect his image. Amen? You can't just reflect God's image through a man or through a woman. You need both. And that's true not only in life, but it's true in the church, that we need women to be fully engaged, and we need them in every aspect of church life. Amen? Ladies, we want to say to you this morning, we value you, and we want your input. And you may have gone through things in life, or maybe even in church, you've experienced difficulties where maybe you were told to sit over here or be in the background or live in the shadows. But you know, this is not a church that believes that. There's some pretty strong women in this church, some pretty powerful women in this church, and I believe that those women are going to get more powerful. And the ones that aren't fully engaged yet, I believe that you're getting ready to go to another level. That's why I'm here. That's why I came all the way from Georgia to San Jose, because I'm pushing you guys into a new place. Amen. And so there's three different ways I believe that God wants us to understand this, and he wants us to understand how what the value that women have. There's many more than three, but that's how much time we have this morning. I want to go to this first point and just say that, first of all, we need a woman's perspective. The church does not function properly if we only have men doing everything and seeing things from a men's perspective. Hello? Is it okay to say that? And I can prove it to you from the Bible. If you look in the book of Acts, which is our blueprint for the church, the Bible says that when the Apostle Paul was laying the foundations of the New Testament church, he had people around him that were his co-workers. He had people around him that were fully engaged with him. And one of those, or two of those people, it was a married couple, and their names were Priscilla and Aquila. And when Paul went around and he preached and he planted churches, Priscilla and Aquila would go with him. They labored with him. The Bible says they risked their necks for Paul. They were in danger of martyrdom because they were working alongside him. And there's one scene in the book of Acts chapter 18 where Priscilla and Aquila are actually training this guy Apollos, who became a mighty apostle. Priscilla and Aquila were the ones who were teaching him, and they launched Apollos into apostolic ministry. That means Priscilla was a mother in the early, early church. And if you get down to the very bottom of the foundations of the New Testament church, you will see a woman's fingerprints there. Amen? So why would we ever say that now, today, we don't need that? We need women more than ever. Amen? Now, I'm going to give you a few historical examples of this. Number one, this unusual-looking lady here from the 1800s is Fanny Crosby. Anybody ever heard of Fanny Crosby? Most of us maybe don't know the name, but you've probably sung some of her songs because she wrote 8,000 hymns. And Fanny Crosby was blind from birth. And someone asked her at one point, they said, "Do you wish that you could see?" And this is what she told people. She said, "If perfect earthly sight were offered me tomorrow, I would not accept it. I might not have sung hymns to the praise of God if I had been distracted by the beautiful and interesting things around me." All her life, she was blind, but she wrote the most glorious songs, including songs like "Rescue the Perishing" or "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine." Anybody remember that? I mean, those were the songs of my childhood, and when I hear them today, I still cry. And then I think about the fact that when she was writing those hymns, there were people in the church who actually said that she shouldn't do that. They were saying a woman shouldn't do that because she's going to feminize the church by writing those songs. Somebody didn't remember that the first person in the Bible who's portrayed as a worship leader was female. Her name was Miriam. Hello? How many of you think that maybe God could unleash a realm of creativity out of the women of God today? I mean, we already have some awesome women worship leaders out there today in contemporary times, like Darlene Check or Carrie Job or names like that. But where is this going? We need more creativity flowing out of God's women. Amen? And we need your perspective in the church. Number two, go to that next person. This very interesting-looking lady. I mean, you know, you can laugh at the styles and at the clothes, but Lucretia Mott is basically the mother of suffrage, or the mother of the women's right to vote. And she was a Quaker. She was on fire for God. She was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she believed that the Bible taught us that men and women are created equal. And so she and some men and women back this was way back in the early times, in the 1700s and in the 1800s, they would gather together and they would have these meetings to sort of plot this strategy of winning the right for women's rights in this country, the right to vote, which in 2 years we're going to be celebrating, 3 years we're going to be celebrating the anniversary of that. It's only been 97 years since women had the right to vote in this country. And it was because a woman like Lucretia Mott, who got her inspiration from Scripture to do this. Ladies, are you glad for your grandmother, Lucretia? And guys, we should be thankful for her as well. Yes, thank you. One man clapping. And remember, back in those days, the suffrage movement was not about women marching through the streets, angry, denouncing men, or it wasn't about taking over. It wasn't about burning bras. It wasn't about anger. Hello? It was about standing on biblical principle. And we needed some godly women to do that. We need another movement of godly women in this country. Number two is that we need a woman's gifts. Actually, back up a minute. Before we go to this, I want to pray for you. We were talking about a woman's perspective. Ladies, I want every one of you in here, just lift your hands to God right now. I want to break off of you right now any limitation that somebody tried to put on you. Maybe they told you that you're perspective wasn't important. Maybe they told you that you should just sit down and shut up and that your opinion wasn't necessary. Maybe somebody even in your family said that because you're a woman, you don't really have a valid seat at this table. In the name of Jesus, I break those lies and those limitations that were put on you. I break things that were spoken over you in your life, maybe by teachers or by family or by boyfriends or even by leaders in the church. I break those lies off of you today, and we declare over you that there is something inside of you that needs to be said, and that you bring an important perspective into the church. And so, Lord, bless these women in Jesus' name and break off of them any inferiority that they have struggled with in life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So number two, we need a woman's gifts. Now, I told you earlier that I love to preach on the Holy Spirit. I love to see people baptized in the Holy Spirit. I love to teach on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And whenever I look in the Bible in passages about the gifts, whether it's 1 Corinthians 12 or Romans chapter 12, wherever it lists those spiritual gifts, one thing I have learned is that there is never any mention of gender attached to spiritual gifts. It just says the Spirit distributes his gifts as he wills. Amen? That means spiritual gifts do not come in pink and blue packages. That means when the flame of God came on people in the early church on the day of Pentecost, that flame was not pink on the women and blue on the men. There's not female spiritual gifts or male spiritual gifts. But a lot of times in the church, we've been guilty of telling women, well, certain gifts are not for you. And we've also said, and these special gifts over here are really for you. You know, we love to tell women that they have the gift of serving, or they have the gift of cleaning, even that is not mentioned in the Bible. Or you have the gift of cooking. I'm glad the men are going to be cooking the chili next weekend. Or we tell women, you have the gift of prayer, which actually, you know, it's great. Mighty women of prayer we need in the church. We also need some men intercessors in the church. And we tell women, oh, you have the gift of watching children. And guess what? We need both men and women doing children's ministry. So there's not a gender attached to spiritual gifts, and yet we have oftentimes been guilty of limiting that for women. And yet if you look at history, the Holy Spirit has this awesome way of raising up people, giving them gifts, and they just are radical enough to step into those gifts, and then God shows up. Look at this first one, example from history. Anybody ever heard of Maria Woodworth Edder? She predated Pentecost, the Pentecostal movement. She started preaching as an evangelist in the late 1800s. She was a holiness preacher. And she would go into these towns in Oklahoma. She got a big tent that held 8,000 people. And she would erect those tents in different towns all over the United States. And she was a preacher of the gospel. But she was also empowered by the Holy Spirit. And she didn't think that the results were, you know, it wasn't just dependent on our intellect or on our ability to preach a nice message. She believed in the power. And sometimes she would be preaching, and she would, you see that bony finger she's got raised up? She would point that finger. Some people were afraid of her finger because she would be on a pulpit, and she would preach. And then sometimes she would be like, she would go into like a trance. She would just be frozen, and she would be pointing. And all of a sudden, whoever was in the area where she was pointing, they began to come under conviction. And prominent leaders in towns all over the United States were converted under her ministry. And that had nothing to do with her ability. It had nothing to do with her great sermons. It was all about the power of God flowing through a vessel. And that vessel just happened to be female. How many of you think we could use some more Maria Woodworth Edders today? And then look at this lady next. Everybody remember Catherine Kuhlman? You know, that picture shows her laying hands on somebody, but actually, Catherine Kuhlman did not lay hands on a lot of people. That was really not her style. She would just stand up. She was very strange the way she carried herself. She was very dramatic. She kind of floated in with these long prom gowns, and then she would preach, but then she would began to speak about different illnesses that were going on in people's lives. She would give words of knowledge about different needs for healing, and people would just be supernaturally healed sitting in their chairs. And sometimes they would throw their crutches down and run up to the front. God was always moving in supernatural power. And there was also the fruit of her ministry. A lot of people don't know. There was a young man who walked into her meeting in Los Angeles in 1971, he was a foreign student. He was from Bolivia. His name was Julio Rabal. He was only 19 years old. And he came into that meeting with her, and he got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Then he went home to Bolivia that same year, and a revival broke out through that man that touched so many parts of Bolivia. There were like 500,000 people saved in a six-month period in Bolivia through one 19-year-old preacher who got baptized in the Holy Spirit in her meeting. And some people still want to say we shouldn't let somebody like Catherine Kuhlman get up and do her thing. I believe, folks, we are on the verge of the greatest outpouring of the Holy Spirit we've ever seen in history. And in this next move of the Spirit, I believe women are going to be more involved than they ever have been in the past. And that means a lot of women from Gateway City Church. Amen? Are y'all ready? Okay, ladies, I want you to lift your hands again. And if there's men sitting next to you, I want them to just put their hand on your shoulder, and we're going to ask God right now to stir up the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit in you. Some of you maybe know what your gifts are. Some of you have thought that maybe you only had one or two, and God's actually stirring something new and fresh on the inside of you. And some of you have thought, you know, I can't really step out in those gifts. And today, God is going to stir that in you, and He's going to begin to release something new out of you. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray for my sisters, for my mothers who are here today. Lord, I ask that you stir up the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I ask that you fill them with such power. I ask that you release the gifts of healing, the word of knowledge, the gift of leadership. Lord, that you would release the supernatural revelation of the Holy Spirit. Lord, release the word of wisdom. Release discernment. Lord, release prophecy. Release that gift of evangelism. In the name of Jesus, there are women in this church that you are being called into evangelism, and you don't even really know what that's going to look like. And God says, just step out of the boat today and let me open it up to you, because his heart is burdened for this region. And there's even some women in here that you are called to be trained in this place, and then God's going to shoot you like an arrow out of this place, some of you to foreign nations. And so, Lord, stir up that gift of God in these women in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord's doing something in here. Number three, my final point is that we need a woman's courage. You know, there's people out there in the church today that they think really that they just wish women would sit down and be quiet so that we could just do church the way we think is right, and that we don't really need women stepping in there. We don't need women getting in the way. God's not happy with that attitude. Go back to the Bible. You can look through Paul's letters, and you can see all these women that worked with him. Priscilla, Phoebe, Junia, Yodia, Syntyche, Persis, Chloe, Nympha. You go through the whole list. They're all there. Some of them were pastors. Some of them were apostolic leaders. Some of them were deacons. Some of them were evangelists. They were all engaged in that early time period in the first century. But one thing that marked every one of them, and one thing that marks every mighty woman of God that's ever stepped up to the plate, is that she had to swallow her fears. Amen? And we have examples of that in history too. Now, this next example I'm giving you, some of you think she looks kind of scary. Carrie Nation is not, you know, she's not somebody that I would say, okay, let's all emulate her today and go out and do what she did, because her strategy probably wouldn't work today. But Carrie Nation was a feisty grandmother. She wore these long black dresses, and her first husband had died of alcoholism, and she was very burdened about the problem of alcohol in America. This was back before the 1920s. And she was praying about this. She saw families destroyed by alcohol. She was praying about what she should do, and she felt like God gave her this strategy. And so she took a hatchet, and she would go in the saloons, and she would barge into the saloons, and she would announce, God is on the move. And then she would take that hatchet and break the glasses and break the bottles of rum and whiskey. And those big, tough guys were running out of the bars because Granny had showed up with her axe. She even published a newspaper called The Hatchet. I don't think that strategy would work too well today, and she would probably spend a lot of time in jail. She did go to jail a lot. But the point is, where is that feistiness today? Because there are some things going on in our culture that, honestly, I don't think it's going to change until women respond. And some of you have already begun to feel the burden. Some of you hear the alarm bells going on in the spirit. You know there's issues. You know there's injustice. It's like when I'm around my daughter, she went to Ethiopia, and she could feel the struggle and she knew about the poverty, and she knew about how kids were being treated, and she just responded and said, Lord, I can't stop it, but I can at least adopt one child out of this. And we need women today to rise up and be courageous and take those steps. And some of you, maybe God's calling you to take up your spiritual axe and go on the warpath, God's warpath. Amen? And then the final example is this lady, Sojourner Truth. Praise God for forerunners. Praise God for people who are willing to step out way ahead of their time and say things that nobody else wants to hear. She was a slave. Back in the 1840s, she converted to Jesus in a Methodist church. And then in a time when women were never, ever seen behind pulpits, this African-American woman started going on a campaign to call not only for the abolition of slavery, but for equality for women. And she won both of those battles. People would come from all over just to hear a black woman speak because nobody ever had seen that before. And what's really cool is that next year she's going to be on the back of the $10 bill. But we need some courage today. And that means we have to let go of our fears. I want to show you one last picture, and then I'm going to pray for you. If you have that, this picture of this woman here, it just reminds me so much that there's so much of the world today that is still struggling with basic human rights. And if you want to see where women are the most oppressed, you can go to some countries in the Middle East today where they are forced to cover themselves from head to foot, and they don't have the right to drive, and there's no civil rights whatsoever, and they're beaten and they endure horrible abuse. But I want you to know what's going on even in those cultures today. Do you know that God is even using that fabric? Because there are Bible studies happening today in places like Iran, places like Jordan, places like Saudi Arabia, where these women are gathering with all that fabric on them, and then they get together in their little groups, and they pull a Bible. Somebody pulls a Bible out from under that fabric, and they all get their Bibles, and they study their Bibles together, and then somebody gives their heart to Jesus. A few more people get saved, and then they give them those Bibles, and then they stick those Bibles under that fabric. God is moving, and he wants to set those women free. They live in a very, very challenging situation, life-threatening situation, and they're having to be bold and courageous on the front lines of ministry today. But I believe it's time for all of us to say yes, God, and to ask that he crush every one of our fears and that he give us the courage to rise up and be the people that we're called to be. I want all the women in this room to stand up. I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to ask that God would break a spirit of fear off of you. Some of you maybe have struggled with fear all your life. Maybe people said things to you that put fear in your life, or maybe it was just you. Maybe you've just disqualified yourself for years and years and just said, I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I don't look the part. I don't have what it takes. And, you know, you have probably talked yourself out of what God wants you to accomplish. But today, I want to break the lies of fear and the paralyzing chains of fear that are wrapped around you. And brothers, if you're standing near a woman, a sister, a mother in Christ, feel free to just stand up and come over alongside and pray for her right now. Let's come alongside our sisters and our mothers. And ladies, as you feel this prayer and as you feel the support from the men who are standing around you, I want you to know from the bottom of my heart, and I believe I can say this on the from every man's perspective here, we need you in the battle. We want you to be our co-workers. We want you to be a part of what's happening. And we want you to be free from any fear that would hold you back from fulfilling the call of God on your life. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you shatter the chains of fear that are on any of these women today, old or young. Father, would you break them free so that they can rise up and do whatever it is that you're calling them to do, whether it's enroll in that class, whether it's to start that ministry, whether it's to start that Bible study in the neighborhood, whether it's to talk to that coworker, whether it's to go to that class that the church is offering to get more training. God is speaking to you today and calling you out of your confines. He's releasing His anointing and His power, and He's calling for an army. I shared in the earlier service today that I had this vision of the women in this church, and at first they looked a little bit out of order, like they were just kind of standing in different places, but then all of a sudden I saw them getting in very orderly lines, and they were like being mobilized. And God says that He is indeed mobilizing an army in this house. And there's very specific battles that He has given Gateway City Church women to win. And there are certain battles that will never be won until God's women respond to Him. And so, Father, empower these women today. Mobilize them. Get them in their regiments. Get them in their battalions. Arm them with their weapons. Lord, in Jesus' name, we thank You that You are mounting an assault in the Spirit, and You're going to use these women of God for a mighty, mighty purpose. We thank You that You have broken that fear, and I ask that You release Holy Ghost boldness in these women of God today. And if there's any women out there today, and you would say, I've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. I really don't feel like I have those gifts flowing in my life. I don't really have that anointing. I don't feel it. I need a second experience in my life to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. If you want us to pray for you for that, we're going to offer that at the very end of the service. We're going to be standing over on this side, and we invite you to come. We're going to pray. Several people got baptized in the Spirit in the first service this morning, and we're going to see that happen again. Don't leave this place if you need God to do that, because you cannot go into the battle without His power flowing through your life. And so I'm going to invite Pastor Dave to come. He's going to close us in prayer and invite anybody in here today who does not know Jesus Christ personally. We want you to make that decision before you leave. So let's give our attention to Pastor Dave.
Let's thank Pastor Lee, huh? Great word. Thank you, Lee. You can be seated, everyone. These are words. I believe every word that you heard. I believe in every word that you heard, and it's so significant. And I think for many of us, we've heard these words before, and we believe them. But there are people here today that have never heard this before. And this went deep, and it's very significant and very important. You know, I was thinking, Lee, as you were speaking, we're doing some renovation around here. And the Holy Spirit just kind of whispered to me, it's not just a natural renovation that's taking place. But God is doing significant things in our church. Deep things in our worship and in our prayer and in our ministries. And he's renovating. It's a time for us to really be a part of what He's doing. And I just want to pray for God's touch on every person in this room. We prayed for the women, but I'd like you to just bow your heads right now if you would. We're going to bring the service to a close in about 5 minutes. But here, let's just allow the Holy Spirit to go deep, because God wants to do a deep work of renovation in every one of our lives. He wants to go right to the core of what's happening, right to the core of what's broken. Everything that is hurting on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit wants to just go right now. And if there's been sin in your life, if you're lost, if you're away from the Lord, you don't know the love and the forgiveness of God, God wants to touch you deeply in this moment. He wants to break that guilt and that shame, the shame of sin. He wants to remove it. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, and He'll take your sin away. He'll remove that stain from your heart, and He'll give you a brand new heart filled with grace, filled with peace, and He'll give you a future. Father, I pray for people in this room right now that you would touch them, Lord. And I pray for those in this room who may not know your love and your forgiveness. Would you touch them, Lord? Would you deliver them? Would you heal them? Do a very special work, Lord. Just with heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder if there's someone here that'll say, Pastor David, I need to receive that touch. I need my sins forgiven. I need Christ to be my Lord and Savior. But I feel so far from God. I'm not close to God. I'm far away. And I want that to change today. Before we close this service, I want to pray for you. If you'll lift your hand, say, Pastor David, pray for me. I'm far from God. I want to know God. I want to know His love. Thank you for your hand. Anywhere in the auditorium, just lift it up and say, Pastor, pray for me. I'd like to give my life to Christ. I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. What a powerful thing God is doing today. I see you in the back. Thank you for your hands. Both your hands over there. I see you. About six people raising their hands right now. Every Christian praying. Is there one more person to say, Pastor David, pray for me. I see you. I see you too. Thank you, Lord. Now, Father, I pray for those who have raised their hands. You see the story that's going on in their life right now. You know how they got to where they are today. I ask you to change that story, Lord, big time, Lord. By the mighty power of the Holy Spirit, release new life into them. And let this be the first day of a brand new life, Lord, for every one of them, Lord. Thank you for your love and your forgiveness and the abundant life that we have in Christ. We receive it now in Jesus' name. I would like everyone just to say this prayer with me. Just let's all say this. If you're in the cafe, if you're here in the auditorium, watching online, just right where you are, just say this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, without you I'm lost, but by your grace I can be saved. Thank you for saving me. I acknowledge you as my Lord and my Savior. From this day forth, I'm walking in the fullness of everything Jesus came to bring for me. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You know, I prayed with about seven or eight people just now that received the Lord. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap this morning. I think you did exactly the right thing by raising your hand. Now look, guys, this has been so beautiful. I want to say to those of you that raised your hands, there's a card right in front of you. I know the decision you made today was real, and I want you to write on that card that says, I've decided. I want you to communicate directly with me the decision that you've made. Some of you have decided to be a part of our church. Others have decided to give their lives to Christ, rededicate your heart to the Lord. Take a minute, fill that card out that says, I've decided. Drop it in the offering as it comes by at the close of the service, and let us know. Also, if you're new in the church, that card that says, I'm new here, we'd love to get that from you and know you're here. We're going to receive our tithes and offerings. And as I mentioned, if you want to give above and beyond your tithe and offering, your normal regular giving, give to Lee's Ministry. You can mark the envelope or use your app to give for guest ministry. And we will bless Lee. We want to take good care of him and continue to support him for a long, long time. How many think Lee needs to just keep preaching like this all over the world? We need this, right? So let's help him. Let's help him. And if you're going to help a young person to go to camp, you do that in your giving as well. Worship team's going to lead you. I'll come back in just a moment and speak a blessing over you. Thank you for your giving, everyone. Let's worship.
Oh, what a beautiful Savior we have. Thank you for the freedom we have today, Jesus. Oh, you're so good, Lord. Let's sing it together. You didn't want heaven without us. You didn't want heaven without us. So, Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great. My sin was great. Your love was greater. And what could say?
for your powerful name, Lord.
You are
hallelujah.
I praise you, Jesus. I love your name.
Lord, you are the God of miracles. There is nothing impossible for you. No sickness, no sin, no disease, no problem, no hurt, Lord, that you cannot touch. Lord, we invoke your mighty power upon your people and upon the needs that they have shared, Lord, where there needs to be a miracle. We agree, Lord, for your mighty power. And I pray, Lord, your great blessing, Lord, would rest on every person. We leave this place, Lord, with grace and peace, filling our hearts and minds through Jesus. And we give him the glory, and we give him the honor, and we give him the praise. And everyone said, amen, amen. God bless you. Love every one of you. Look, here's what's going to happen. If you need special prayer, our prayer teams are here and Lee has offered to pray. So I'm going to ask you, if you're going to be visiting, if you'll move toward the back of the auditorium. Here toward the front, we're going to be having Holy Spirit time. If you need prayer, come on and receive prayer here at the front. God bless you, everyone.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our